Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. As I mentioned this morning, I believe these are the greatest Christmas verses that we can find. And it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that is available through him, and that all can be saved, Lord. And we thank this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. No greater voice, a verse I mentioned earlier, but did you know that Christmas was not observed as a holiday during the first few centuries of Christianity? It was not observed. Early believers generally celebrated Resurrection Sunday more than Christ's birth. Now, the fact of the matter is this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, that Jesus Christ came to die. That was the importance of his coming, and thus that is why they celebrated that time of year when he did die and then he arose from the grave. The birth of Jesus was not widely celebrated until the 4th century AD. Now, that is hard for us to understand because all of us have been celebrating the birth of Christ from the day we were born, right? I mean, you know, do you remember being 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 and you couldn't wait for Christmas Day? It could never get here fast enough. Now it gets here before we want it to get here. I mean, it's coming this Friday. And are you ready? By the 5th century AD, the church declared a feast for the birth of the Savior on December 25th. At least partially to compete with the pagan Saturnale, and I hope I'm saying that word close to right, and its celebrations of the winter solstice, which revered as the birth of the sun. Interesting, the birth of the sun, S-U-N, and we are talking about the birth of the sun, S-O-N, the creator of the sun, S-U-N. The tradition of Christmas nativity presentation and Christmas carols began to be popular about the 13th century as a way of keeping the story of Jesus' birth alive in populations that could not read the Bible for themselves. And then a side note, when Charles Dickens came out with his Christmas Carol, it really snowballed with the idea of celebrating Christmas and all that there is in that regard. Today, unfortunately, the Christmas story gets lost in the commercialism of our society. And I think we would all agree that commercialism is what drives Christmas today. The other day, I took my wife over to the Verizon store on Rochester Road after Pastor Stephen had said that my phone was going to become a paperweight. She called up Verizon and found out, Pastor Stephen, that's true, that it's going to make a very nice paperweight. And so she went over there and she began to do some inquiring got me a phone. Now you say, where is that phone? Well, it's up in my office. It's too big, it's too heavy, and I don't like carrying it. Okay, what can I say? The facts, the facts. But I was sitting outside the Verizon store in the car. I had gone over to Myers and walked around inside there and came outside. Donna had told me, I said, how long do you think this is going to be? She said about a half hour. So I came back about a half hour later because I am by nature very punctual. Can't say the word, but I am. And I'm sitting there for a while and she doesn't seem to be in too big a hurry. So I went back to Myers and walked around in there a little bit more, came back out. And one thing I noticed that they had a large flat screen TV type situation inside the store. And it was going through the loop. It was going through the loop. And every time you could tell the beginning because it had the word Mary on it. M-E-R-R-Y. Mary. Mary what? Just Mary. And then it showed five or six things and that, you know, to make the phone look like it's indispensable. But it's just Mary. See, that's what society is doing. They're even pushing out the word Christmas. Now, Pastor Paul, how long was your wife in the Verizon store? 2 hours. 2 hours. But anyways, but to the believer, the Christmas story is wonderful for a number of reasons. Four that I would like to point out this evening. Aren't you glad it's just four? Four reasons. Number one, what a wonderful time of the year. Doesn't that go with some song? But a wonderful time of the year. The lights. Do you like the lights? My wife and I went out this week a couple of times to look at the lights. And I had found that Shelby Township was having a special tour where you could go and you could then vote on which house you liked the best. And so we traveled around quite a bit of Shelby Township looking at the lights. And I'm going to tell you, some of the subdivisions were amazing. And I don't know if it was professionally done or individuals at that home did it, but it was really nice. And we saw some pretty nice houses and enjoyed the evening. But I like the lights. I think they're beautiful. I just think they're great. There's the giving of gifts. And, you know, I appreciated Brother Wucky, the gift from the church this morning, and my wife also appreciated it. And, you know, we like the gifts, correct? To receive them, but also to give them. To give them. The gifts. The holiday songs. Now, there is a difference between the holiday songs and the Christmas carols. Mother got ran over by a reindeer. Now, I have not heard that one this year yet, but I do remember it's out there somewhere floating around. I did hear the one about wanting a hippopotamus. And I think to myself, really? A hippopotamus? But you know, there are those songs, but then there are the Christmas carols. And I enjoy the Christmas carols. And I enjoy listening to the different songs. And it's a good time of the year. Every time I hear the little drummer boy, Deb, I think of Jeff playing his drum while your daughters were singing the song. Do you remember that, Andrea? Yes. And you know, the songs. And for whatever reason, people just seem to be in a better frame of mind. Have you noticed that? They just seem to be more willing to be polite. To be polite. And maybe you've seen that too, but it's a wonderful time of the year. Number two, what a wonderful God we serve. A wonderful God. God the Father gave his only begotten Son. There is no greater gift than that. God is the greatest giver in the universe, and he gave the greatest gift ever given. If you never received any gifts for birthdays or anniversaries or at Christmas, and the only gift you ever received was that of salvation, it'd be all you needed. It's all you would need. God the Son willingly submitted himself to the Father's will and died for the sins of all mankind. God died to satisfy God. And it's amazing that that was the plan that was given. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. He died because of our sins. God the Holy Spirit came to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. And as a result, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We serve a God who is merciful, that's loving. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some say, well, a holy God would not cause anybody to go to hell. The fact of the matter is, God doesn't cause people to go to hell. We cause ourselves to go to hell because of our sin. God provides a way of salvation so that we don't have to go to hell. Amen. Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I was reading an author's thoughts on Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and he believed that these words had been put to song, and they were sung. But they're great thoughts as we begin in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We serve a wonderful God. Number three, what a wonderful message we have to tell. What a wonderful message. After church this morning, Donna wanted to open up all the gifts. And I let her open up a couple of gifts. I didn't want to open all the gifts. You know what's coming? Christmas. When do you open the gifts? Christmas. Tug and pull and pull and tug. And so she opened a couple of gifts, and then we went in the front room and read Christmas cards. And some of them are very beautiful with great thoughts, and we appreciate it. David H. Snyder writes, "The story of Christmas is of God's unspeakable gift." That is the story of Christmas, the unspeakable gift that we are given. It, from 2 Corinthians 9:15, where thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift of God, what a glorious, glorious thought. And the price of this unspeakable gift, the price. Do you have to worry about the price? Do you have to pay for the salvation of your children? Do you have to pay for the salvation of your mates or your parents or relatives? No, this unspeakable gift has been paid in full. In full. He paid it all. This is the message that the Covenant Baptist Church has been proclaiming for its 64 plus years of the unspeakable gift. This is the message that our missionaries on foreign shores have been proclaiming as well, as we send them forth to be giving the gospel in England or in South Africa or in Brazil or in Japan. It's that Jesus died for sinners. And our enemy has hundreds and thousands of counterfeit religions. And he has brought before mankind all kinds of choices to muddy the water. But Jesus Christ still is the answer to man's problems. Number four. And how many did I say I was giving? Four. What a wonderful time to express our thankfulness. Now, I know we just came through Thanksgiving, and we should thank God for the United States of America. And I'm glad that I live here. And you that have been to other countries of the world, you're glad you live here. But thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for the missionaries this country has sent forth throughout the world. Thank God for churches that have used or sent missionaries to go and take the gospel. But may I be on the behalf of our missionaries, thank you for your generosity to the cause of the worldwide outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church. Thank you. The fact that you are willing to give so that missionaries can go. Now, as we know, a number of our missionaries last year resigned for one reason or another, and we have taken on two new missionaries, Brother Gage Gilbert to Greenland, and we started supporting him in December, and in January we will start supporting Daniel Burdine to Nicaragua. And we are so thankful that we can continue to send forth the support so that these missionaries can go forth and go. I thank you for the giving that this outpost of faith receives so that it can remain a lighthouse for the cause of Christ. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I am bothered by what has happened in America in our churches. I'm bothered that so many churches have closed their doors and everything is online. But I realize that we are in a different situation, and it bothers me that many simply are not tuning in at all. They're not coming to the church building, but they're not tuning in online. And so they are not receiving the Word of God at all. And I believe that can become a habit so very quickly that you just begin to ignore the Word of God. I've noticed this, that, you know, we aren't giving out near as many of the publications for the daily devotions, where many were receiving them every quarter, or in the case of the Baptist bread, every other month. There just isn't as many being used. And I'm thinking, this is having an impact in our society today. But words cannot describe how grateful I am for your faithful prayer and financial support, both for the church itself, but also for Pastor Stephen and Lauren, for Donna and myself. I thank you for your prayers. I tell you regularly, I need your prayers. Do you think I'm lying? You think that's a filler? I guarantee you it's not. It's a necessity, and thank you for your prayers. To be sure, your faithfulness has resulted in many hearing the Word of God. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Why do you think God loves a cheerful giver? Because he is a cheerful giver, and he likes to see others give. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For those that give so that the Word of God can go out. What a blessing that is. And it will lead to what we're going to read in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now I know this is an expensive time of the year. I know that you have been asked to give, and I've been promoting the giving of the Christmas gift to our the four recipients this year. And I know that Brother Wutke, and we appreciate his handing out the papers, and I know he tries to do it in secret, but you know, I see what he's doing. And I appreciate your willingness to give to that. And there are other organizations that are asking you to give, and they're standing by the door ringing the bell. And I hope that you take the time to give a little bit to the Salvation Army, because it's a time of giving. But for some people, it's a struggle. I understand that. I understand. But the fact is, God loveth what? A cheerful giver. You cannot do anything with that verse other than read what it says. He loveth a cheerful giver. Let's begin reading, if you would, at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed unto Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. What Paul is saying to this church is that you were there for me financially. Thank you, he says. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now highlight verse 17 somehow in your Bible. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Because you were willing to do this, there will be fruit as a result of your willingness to give. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Jesus Christ. See, I don't believe he's going to do verse 19 if you're not willing to do verse 17. If you're not willing to give, then God is not under any obligation to give back. Because he loveth a cheerful giver. And at this time of year, it's a season of giving. And some of you have been very generous in your giving. And some of you have sent home sin in tins. And you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, we enjoyed it. Well, enjoying it. I don't want you to think they're gone yet. But thank you for being givers. And as my dad said, and as I have repeated, you cannot outgive God. It's impossible. Let us stand together, if you would, please. 470 will be our invitation song. I have decided to follow Jesus. You can make no greater decision than to follow Jesus. And then once you have, to be willing to be a giver. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, your grace, for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, for that unspeakable gift. And thank you, Lord, for these that are so generous in giving and opening up their heart. And Lord, it is so appreciated. And Lord, we thank you for all that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.